Hello and welcome to Great British Sewing Bee Unpicked with Rob
And Sean.
and we're on series 9 episode 2 Travel Week. Before we start, we'll do our usual disclaimer that we are not associated with Love Production, with BBC or with the Great British Sewing Bee. This is just a personal podcast where we discuss our opinions about the show. So Travel Week, do you like Travel Week, Sean?
I really, really liked this episode. We had a sewing bee first, we had swimwear, and we had one of those pattern challenges that makes you go, oh my god, what the hell am I going to make? Yeah, I really like this one. I normally quite like Travel Week because it does normally involve a bit of swimwear. As you know, I like to work with stretches, I use a lot of swimwear patterns, so this is kind of like my happy week.
I was looking forward to it because I usually like Travel Week because quite often it will be like a pattern from another country, or it will be like something that you would wear on holiday where they've done like palazzo pants in the past and kind of stuff like that. I did think this week was a little difficult. I thought that really every challenge was really difficult, and there were a lot of very challenging things they were expecting the sews to do, seeing as it's only week two. Like, this seemed to me like it would be something they would do normally more in like week seven or something.
Yeah, but I think we've also got to a stage where we've had, what, 9 series. Series 1, I don't ever remember them doing a travel week. It was quite a short one, but we've had at least 8 series where there's going to have been a travel week, and they're going to start running out of things to do. So I think we're going to get to a point where the challenges are going to be pretty hard from the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, looking back when you watch kind of series 1 compared to this, it's kind of like series 1, they're like, you need to sew on a patch pocket and you've got 3 days to do it. And now it's like, you need to sew a working helicopter out of bin lids and you've got 25 seconds.
Yeah, when you compare the very first season and it's like, here, make a patch pocket, to we want you to make a fully functioning gown with electronic features ready for the Met Gala in the next 10 minutes.
It's mad. It's absolutely
and
mad.
You have to buy your own fabric.
it's crazy. Yeah, there were quite a few challenges here that I thought were really difficult. So let's crack on with them and start talking. So challenge 1, we have the pattern challenge where they had 3 hours, 15 minutes, a bit random, to make a rucksack. The rucksack included clasps, a zip pocket on the front, straps with webbing, adjusters. It was lined. It was a roll top. There were 13 pieces. I thought this was quite a difficult challenge for 3 hours, 15 minutes. I don't know why they couldn't have just given them 3.5 hours. I don't know why they're down to 15.
It did kind of feel like maybe like Esme and Patrick were negotiating. Patrick was like, oh, let's give them 3.5. And Esme was like, no, let's give them 3. And they were like, fine, we'll meet in the middle and they can have 3 hours and 15.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a bizarre time length to do. I agree with you. It would have made more sense to me just to round it up a little bit. And then maybe some people might have actually been able to finish their rucksacks. But I was quite excited for this one. It's a sewing bee first. I really need a new rucksack. So I was kind of like, who can I message once this is done? See what ones I like. It's actually inspired me. I've actually been looking at, as you know, obviously our listeners don't know, I've been on a little weekend away traveling, and I've spent about 8 hours on trains and buses and stuff. And I've literally spent most of that looking at rucksack patterns.
Yeah, I've got one in the cupboard, actually. I was thinking about sending you, but I'm sure you've probably managed to find a nicer one.
I mean, if you send me a photo, I'm sure I will happily rehome it. I've literally been looking at duffel bags, rucksacks, bum bags, all sorts. And I'm like, God, what has happened to me? What happened to the boy who likes sewing like gymnastic wear and now making bags?
It's practical though, and this is one thing that I was really pleased to see on the sewing bee, is that they are getting challenges. Maybe there's only like one a series, but they are getting challenges where it's not just clothing, because not everyone sews clothing.
No, and also it's a challenge that doesn't require the sewers to make a gender specific item.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a very practical item as well. You know, everyone uses bags.
Yeah, everyone uses bags. Everyone wears hats. Everyone wears shoes. I mean, I still have nightmares about that shoe challenge they did. But it was nice to see a non-gender specific pattern challenge. Okay, they had to chuck them on mannequins, but how else were they going to display them? But it was nice to see. And yeah, okay, certain sewing bees made it for certain people in their family, certain people that inspired them, but it wasn't a gender-specific challenge. It was open to everyone. It was inclusive. And it really made me happy. Like, it's just nice to see, because I love sewing bee to bits. I mean, we wouldn't be doing this podcast if we didn't love it. But a lot of the challenges are very female-based clothing pieces. And sometimes I do kind of feel like, especially like as we've spoken about before, like patterns, it's still really hard to find good male patterns.
Yeah, definitely. We are going off track here, but yeah, you're right.
And we are, but it was just lovely to see Sewing Bee do another... even if it's just the one for this series, a non-gender specific pattern challenge. It was lovely. I was so happy.
Definitely. And you're right, there is in the sewing world, there is a real lack of fashionable, interesting men's patterns, whereas you can go onto a lot of the sewing websites and I can find a pattern for, you know, a Henry VIII costume, or like a, you know, Victorian man's peacoat, but I can't find, you know, some, you know, a decent pattern for a pair of jeans, or, you know, a fun hoodie, or those kind of things. So there is like a massive gap there, and especially for gender inclusive patterns, which, you know, could be for any gender, there's a huge area there that I think some of the big companies need to wake up and actually start tackling, and, you know, making more patterns that are gender inclusive and stuff like that. But let's get back to challenge one, where we're talking about a rucksack. Should we talk about the bottom three?
Yeah, let's start from the bottom and work our way up to the tops.
So in last place we have Jilly, who had picked an African fabric, which was a little light for making a rucksack. She didn't finish. There was, seemed like there was no nut lining added in there. And her comment was she'd had a spot of bother. There was no way Jilly was going to finish this. Even if I think she had another hour, I don't think she was going to finish.
No, and it's one of those... This is going to sound really harsh, but I did get a little bit annoyed because the judges don't come round and give you their advice for the sake of it. If they feel like you're making a bad mistake, they do come round and give you a little push in the right direction. And I do feel like there was that kind of, well, no, that's what I want to make it out of. And it's like, well, I feel like she didn't really read the pattern, and she didn't really pick her fabric with any logic. It was just, that's pretty, that's what I want. And it was I was a bit disheartened, really. I mean, I loved the fabric that she was using. I thought that was beautiful, but she could have, if she really wanted it on the outside, there could have been other ways that she could put elements of it. And yeah, just the fact that we ended up with not even really a bag, it was just a little bit disappointing, really, and I'm quite gutted about it. But yeah, I just feel like maybe Jilly just got in that, this is what I want to do, no matter what anyone says, it's not going to persuade me. And actually, I really think had she listened to the judge's advice, even if she didn't get the lining done, at least then she would have had a bag that was usable.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think when Patrick had given her that advice and said, look, the lining you've chosen is actually heavier weight than what you want to do the outer, kind of, why don't you swap them round? And she kind of agreed to swap them round, and then kind of after he walked away, kind of, no, reverted, I'm going to use that. And that fabric would have been fine for a different type of bag if she was making a tote or something, or something unstructured. It would have been fine. And it was beautiful fabric, but it was a case of wrong fabric, wrong project.
Yeah, 100%.
I think also Jilly was struggling with time restraints. And I think maybe she, you know, isn't used to sewing in a few hours. And maybe she's more of a Sunday sewer where, you know, you'll set up your sewing stuff and have a nice leisurely afternoon of sewing, dip in and out, have a cup of tea. Whereas you're on sewing bee and that clock's ticking and you've got 3 hours and 15 minutes, you know, to make a rucksack. So you can't kind of
faff about.
Yeah, you can't faff. You've just got to get cracking.
Yeah. And it's also, it's a competition. As much as it is one of the friendliest competitions out there, it's still a competition. And yeah, I was just a little bit, I was a bit gutted. I was a little bit disheartened, really. It was one of those I just kind of thought, oh, there doesn't even seem to be any oomph to want to get it done. I don't know. Maybe I'm just overthinking it. But yeah, I was just a bit gutted. Really?
I think maybe Jilly looked at the pattern and maybe felt a little bit overwhelmed, felt it was a bit confusing and kind of shut down a little bit and almost sabotaged herself maybe, and was like,
yeah,
I don't think I can do this. And then that kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy where you, if you think you can't do it, then, you know, maybe you can't. Maybe she was just having an off day. It was just, yeah, definitely not her challenge.
Yeah, no, I think you're right there.
10th place, we had Lizzie, who'd used a dark denim, and she'd used kind of like pastely rainbow striped webbing for the straps. She also didn't finish. I think part of her issue is she'd chosen white top stitching on the denim, which is always going to be, you know, a massive contrast that's going to draw your eye. And when she did the first zip, she kind of went a bit skew-iff. So I think she lost time, sat unpicking, and then never really fully caught up after that.
Yeah, this is one good fabric choice. She had the little hiccup, which delayed her. And it's top stitching as well. It takes time. It's fiddly. Yeah, I thought this would have been really, really good. I was really looking forward to seeing this finished. And it could have been such a good bag. And just, yeah, you could see what it could have been. And it's just a shame we never got to see it finished.
Definitely. And I think she, you know, she really wanted to finish. And she really wanted to get that bag done, but just probably knew that she couldn't. She just didn't have the time. I think if I was doing that challenge, I probably wouldn't have gone for a contrast top stitch. If I was at home sewing, fine, you got all the time in the world. You could, you know, unpick. I hate unpicking, but you can unpick for your heart's desire and spend hours until you've got it 100%. But under those time restraints, I think I would have just gone for a really dark coloured top stitch, and then if you did have a wobble, they wouldn't see. I hope that when she gets it back, because I think they get all the projects back about 6 months after filming, I wonder if she's actually going to finish the bag.
Yeah, I mean, it would be amazing to see it finished. And again, I think this is like, there was such a contrast between Lizzie and Jilly, of that, like, Lizzie was going full pelt trying to get it done and dusted, And that's where I think I kind of got a little bit annoyed with Jilly a bit, because I was just like, everyone else is fighting to get this done. And it just kind of felt like Jilly was kind of taking a bit too much of a relax here. But again, that is just my opinion. I might be overthinking it. We don't see the full story. There could have been other things going on, but that was just my kind of perception from watching it on TV. But yeah, Lizzie, that could have been beautiful. I love a denim bag. Yeah, I'm just heartbroken for her, because you could really see that determination. You could see what it was going to look like. And sadly, time just got the better of her.
Yeah, I would agree with what you said there. I think you could definitely see there was a fire under Lizzie that there wasn't under Jilly. And I think that was the difference there between those guys. So in ninth place, we had Mia. She also didn't quite finish. She had used a bright orange. It looked like maybe like a twill or something, some kind of, or might have been a denim. And she had a tropical fruits lining, which I thought was super cute. And she had striped straps. And I thought this would actually make a really fun bag. So I hope she does finish it.
I really loved her colour combination. It was a shame it was unfinished, but she was so, so close. I mean, that was literally, what, two lines of stitching she would have had to have done to get it finished. If only they'd been given that extra 15 minutes and the judges rounded up the time rather than giving them a really bizarre time. But it was, yeah, it was going to look super cute. I loved the colour combination. It actually looked really neat and tidy. But yeah, it was just a shame. Again, it was another one you could see the potential. It just wasn't finished.
Yeah, I guess if she had had that extra 15 minutes, because I think she just needed to finish a little bit on the lining, and then she hadn't attached the the clasp as well.
Yeah.
On the front, it looked like they kind of had a lobster claw clasp and a D-ring to kind of shut the bag. So I think she was literally minutes away maybe from finishing.
Yeah.
So, bit of a shape. Now, we'll jump to the top three.
Yep, perfect.
In third place, we had Tony R, who had used a cream. Again, it was maybe a denim or a twill. It was something that was kind of hard wearing. He had used an extra panel of camouflage fabric on there, which wasn't in the instructions. He just added it on for a bit of a flare. I think Tony's quite a fast sewer if he can actually get all of this done and finish. And on some of the other challenges he's done, he seems like he's finished before the time has come to an end, and he's been helping other people with some of their. So I think he's quite a speedy sewer. The bag I thought looked really well sewn and very professional. It wasn't my personal cup of tea bag wise, and I know if I had a cream or beige bag, that would instantly be dirty and looking grubby within days. But I thought he did it really well. What did you think of it?
I really liked it. I mean, it wasn't my personal favourite out of the lot of them, but he is a methodical sewer. He just gets on with it, gets it done and dusted. I like the fact that he wanted to give it that extra bit of flair by adding that little camo strip on it. It was just a shame that, like, if you're going to give yourself time to add extra details, you need to give yourself extra time to make them perfect. And because it was just slightly off, I think that's kind of what knocked it back a little bit. I think he could have actually been in second place for his construction. It was just that tried to go one step ahead of everyone, but it kind of took him one step back, if that makes sense. But yeah, he's a very methodical sewer. I'm really, really impressed. I think he's a bit of an underdog in this competition. I think he's showing us some amazing skills now, but I think he's only going to get better and better as the competition goes on.
Yeah, he seems like he's consistently either in the top or kind of middle of the rankings. It's at the moment, without going back through all my notes, he doesn't seem like he really is has ever been at kind of the bottom end of the table. So it will be interesting to see going forward.
Yeah, I think he's going to be one to watch in this competition.
Definitely. And then another one to watch, in second place, we have Asma, who had used pink and yellow. I thought it was super cute, really bright. I love pink and yellow together as a colour combination. Her straps weren't quite central, which I think is why she got kind of knocked down a little bit. Because it just wasn't perfect, but the rest of the sewing looked fantastic. I loved the look of the bag. I thought it was absolutely great. Loved it.
I gave her an A star for this. I know the central strap wasn't quite centered, but I thought it was cute. I love the color combination. I love the fact that she made it for her daughter who no longer wears colors. It was almost that kind of hoping that she might be able to draw her daughter back to colourful clothing again. Yeah, I don't really have anything to critique. She is a fantastic sewer. I'm really glad I never got in, because I think just I'd be constantly comparing myself and feeling absolutely rubbish about my own sewing skills, like looking at the stuff that she's constructing. She is amazing. I just can't wait to see what this woman brings out next. I'm really looking forward to seeing what she produces in this competition.
Definitely. I was reading an article early, actually, in one of the sewing magazines. I think it was Love Sewing. And they interview Patrick and Esme, and they talk about the series, and they give a few little teasers of some stuff that's coming up. And I'm very excited to see some of the things that they're doing. Some of them sound really tricky. But anyway, let's not jump ahead onto further things yet. In first place, we had Vicky, who had used a green and white check fabric. The lining looked like it was kind of like bearded faces, which I thought was quite cute. It was very 90s skater kid. Not my cup of tea aesthetically. Not the kind of thing I would wear personally. But I thought it was fantastic. I thought all the colours went together. I thought it was the kind of thing loads of, you know, teenagers or adults would want to wear and use. Nothing bad to say. It looked fantastically well sewn, and yeah, two thumbs up. Well done, Vicky.
I am glad you added adults into that, because I want this bag so much. I really want it. I love the look of it. It was sewn beautifully. And you know what really broke my heart was when they spoke to her afterwards, and then she was saying, oh, I didn't think I did that well, and I wasn't quite happy with it, but then I won. And I was like, how would you not be happy with that? That was phenomenal. And I think Vicky is very, very harsh on herself. I've got a feeling she's a lot like many other sewers, that we sew and sew and sew and we're never quite happy with it, because we've got that constant want for perfection, but actually we're achieving a perfection. And that actually broke my heart a little bit, that she was a bit like, oh, I didn't think it was that good. And I was like, really? That was absolutely epic. I want this bag. Vicky, please, send us a message. I'll send you my email address. I'll send you my postal address. I really want this bag. Please. Pretty please.
I have a feeling she's not going to be selling it to you, Sean. Maybe she can make you one.
Who said about selling it? I just want it. I never mentioned money. I just wanted to send it to me. I'm waiting for Jill to send me that yellow bomber jacket from last season.
Oh, yeah, that was lovely.
Yeah, Jill, if you're listening, because I know you've been listening, I'm still waiting. I want that jacket, please.
Right, enough scrounging for freebies.
I'm a poor student.
Was there any other bags that you wanted to give honourable mentions to?
I loved the concept behind Matt's. I loved the fact that he wanted to have that seaside vibe. I was just gutted about the slight wonkiness in the stripe that didn't quite match up. But I thought that was going to be really, really cute. It was giving me Brighton vibes, which just made me happy. Yeah, and our other Tony, I really, really loved the colour combination. I loved the oatmeal strap. It was just a shame the fabric wasn't heavy enough to roll. I think that could have been absolutely beautiful, and I think you would have scored really highly if he'd just had a heavier weight fabric.
Yeah, that was another case of wrong fabric, wrong project. And to be fair, it's something that all home sewers have done at some point. I know I've done it multiple times where I've had a fabric that I really love. I've got a pattern and I'm like, well, it's not quite the right, but I'll give it a go anyway. And it can be really disappointing when you finish whatever project you're working on and then you realise, oh, I really should have done this in a different fabric because maybe it didn't drape properly or it wasn't heavyweight enough or it was too heavy. So it's just the kind of thing that kind of comes with experience and knowing, and also sometimes actually listening to the instructions on the pattern where it says use this type of fabric, and instead of going, I won't, I'm going to use some kind of scuba for this, negligee or whatever. Then it's just a case of kind of sometimes these things you have to learn through mistakes as well.
100%.
And I was going to bring up as well Matthew's, because I love that kind of pale blue and white stripe. And I was thinking, if I had been in that situation where you had to put the front pocket on, I would have cut the front pocket with the stripes going the opposite way.
Good shout.
So then you don't have to worry about anything lining up if you've got the stripes going north-south on the main bag, and then you've got the stripes going east-west on the pockets. Bing, bish, bish, bash, bosh. No worry about anything matching up, sorted. I'm working on a couple of shirts, actually, where I've got pockets on there, and I'm doing the yoke as well, where I don't really want to spend hours trying to pattern match and get the pockets and the yokes all exactly lined up. So I'm just going to do them going the opposite way and then not have to worry about it.
Sounds like a good plan. And I completely agree. If he'd just had them going horizontally rather than vertically, you crisis could have been averted. But you know what? In this, being in the competition space, sometimes the simplest things don't pop into your head. I mean, even when I'm not in the competition, it's the most complicated things that pop into my head. And then once that's failed, I then realise there were like a million simpler solutions.
Exactly. And I know how stressful it is for new listeners. I might have not mentioned this on the podcast before. I was on an episode of Kirsty's Homemade Christmas, where I sewed a pair of pyjamas with Kirsty and Phil's faces on. And it's still available on channel4.com or something, online somewhere. And I remember when we started filming that and the director said, basically, go. I sat there and I thought, I can't remember how to use a sewing machine. And my brain went completely blank and I could not remember the simplest of things under that pressure. So when people watch Sewing Bee, they've got to remember that actually they're sat there with cameras, with lights, with, in a very alien environment. So actually it can be quite confusing, and these mistakes that maybe they wouldn't have made if they were at home can happen. Anyway, enough of a rant about that. Challenge 2, transformation.
This was evil.
Yes. This
but
really
I liked cool. it. So I they loved it.
So they had 90 minutes and they had to produce a stylish rain garment from a windbreaker. Now, this took me back to my childhood. I remember my grandparents used to have a caravan, and we would always have a couple of these windbreakers knocked into the ground, sheltering us. So I have very vivid memories of these and this type of fabric. And it is not a material I would ever want to sew with. So what did you think about it?
It was evil, but I loved it. I would have probably sat under the desk crying for the full length of time. Because though I don't have any childhood memories of this material, because I don't think we ever had a windbreaker. I know of the fabric. I know how slippery it is. Cutting it seems like it would be really easy, but it's the actual sewing it all together that would stress the living daylights out of me. But we had some amazing pieces come out of this challenge, and I cannot wait to start talking about them, because I just thought this was incredible. It was super inspiring, and I love the fact that a lot of the sewers really played into the ability to make interesting structures with this fabric, because it doesn't work in the way that normal fabrics do.
Yes, so without delay, we'll start talking about them. Before we do, if there is people in other countries who might not have with these kind of windbreakers, I feel like they're quite a British thing. I don't know, I haven't maybe seen them abroad as much. This fabric is essentially very similar to an IKEA blue bag.
Yes, and laundry bags.
Yes, so if you imagine trying to sew with those checkered laundry bag or a blue IKEA bag, then that's the kind of fabric you're working with, which does not drape, but is great for creating structural shapes. So
it's essentially a material that is made from very fine woven plastic.
Yes.
It's not a comfy material. It's not something you'd want to wear. It's got structure. It's really ugly, but it's got structure. And this challenge was evil.
So in last place, we had Vicky, who came first in the first challenge. She had decided to produce an all-in-one onesie-style outfit, but there was a bit of a mishap going on with the trousers, and she had to insert quite a large blue triangle into the crotch region, and they were still, even with that, were very tight on the model.
Sorry, this just brought back... I've literally, every time I've watched this episode, Vicky's garment just makes me giggle, and I'm really trying to suppress falling into a giggle fit again, because I loved the... Sorry. I love the concept. I love the idea. I love that it was inspired by her going to festivals. But it was just that massive blue triangle, and it was so tight. Sorry, I'm really trying not to get into a giggle fit here, but it's just like, I really love Vicky. I really love her start, and I did feel really bad for her, but it was, I just love the fact that she and Sarah were just giggling away at this, and it was just one of those moments that you go, that's quite obvious. That wouldn't draw any attention whatsoever if you were wearing that out in public. I'm disappointed she ended up in last. I can understand why she ended up in last, but you know what? This garment gave me such a giggle, and I am smiling from ear to ear just picturing it in my head right now. I'm really sorry for giggling, Vicky. I really am, but you know what? You have made me smile, and that doesn't happen often.
Oh, lies. You're smiling all the time. I thought it was a really good idea, especially kind of like festival wear. This would be really great if you went to Glastonbury or somewhere, you know, which does piss down quite often. I just think it was maybe a little bit too much to take on in 90 minutes to do, like, basically an all-in-one.
Yeah.
and to kind of draft it yourself as well. Like, that is a lot of work to do in a very short period of time. So I thought what she did was actually fantastic.
It was really good. And you know what? There was a bit of genius behind it, because as someone, I don't go to festivals, but I have been to festival-like events, and waiting to get to the horrible toilets that you would have at festivals, I can't imagine wearing a one piece that's going to... I've worn dungarees to these things, and they have been a pain in the backside. Especially like dungarees that don't actually have a fly to them. There's no buttons, so you literally have to get out of your dungarees to go to the loo. You know what? At least Lizzie's outfit would have been wiped dry.
Yes, there is that.
You could go anywhere you wanted, and you could just wipe it clean afterwards. Sorry, that was a bit grim.
There's a thought.
This is my nursing humour coming out here now.
Yeah, and I was also impressed because although the windbreakers looked quite large, actually, I think quite a few of the bees found that there actually wasn't as much fabric when you started cutting it as you thought there was going to be. So I was quite impressed that actually Vicky managed to get, even though it was a very tight onesie, that she actually managed to get a onesie out of it.
Yeah. You know what? Like, just thinking about it, it's like, okay, having to add the triangle onto it, it was already highlighting the crotch anyway. But the fact that it was still tight and it looked like it was stretched, it just made it more obvious. And I'm sorry, Vicky, it's just, it makes me giggle. I loved it for the comedy factor. Thank you so much.
Right, long enough on that. Let's move on. In 10th place, we had Lizzie, who had produced an orange and yellow cape, which had a frill on the front and loop detail around the collar. Now, before she put the trims on, I actually thought this was looking really cute. And I thought this was a really fun idea, you know, because you can use the pleating of it in the cape. And yeah, I thought that was great. And then I agreed with the judges that it didn't really need that frill down the front. It looked very much like an afterthought. I didn't mind the loops so much around the collar, but yeah, I wasn't. This isn't another one where you're doing something and you think, oh, I should add something. You go to the haberdashery. This is the Damien syndrome. You go to the haberdashery and you grab stuff and you stick it on, and it wasn't needed.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those moments where I was like, you're done now. You can leave it alone. It wasn't my favourite. I just feel like, I know she added the pleats and she tried to add structure to it, but it just wasn't one of my favourites. I just felt like a lot of other people putting a lot more hard work into it. And I know that sounds really horrible and harsh, but it's one of those, a cape is, when you're using something like a windbreaker, a cape to me just seems like a very easy route to take. But aesthetically, it looked really nice right until she added those extra details that it didn't need. It wasn't my favourite. And you know what? I was really worried about Lizzie, because that's second to last in the pattern, second to last in the transformation. And it was one of those moments where I was like, this isn't looking good. At least, like, Vicky came in last in this one, but first in the last one. And we had, who came in? I'm just going, Jilly came in last in the pattern and then ranked a little bit higher up in this one. I was a little bit worried because Lizzie had been in the bottom three twice in one episode.
Yeah, she definitely was in a dangerous position going into the third challenge. I think she knew that, and she knew that she had to kind of do something special, or she had to be in the kind of top half of the table, or somebody else had to have a massive mistake for her not to go. Ninth place, we have Fove, who made a wrap coat. I thought it was fine. It had rosette details, which she'd put on the back of the sleeves, maybe by accident instead of on the front. It was fine. It wasn't as dramatic as I think some of the ones that had placed above her. And I think that's probably why, because there just kind of wasn't the drama there.
Yeah. And also, it was that kind of adding things for the sake of adding it. I don't think it needed the rosettes. But I liked it. It was good. It was well constructed. I just feel like it was one of those moments where you go, oh, I need to add something new to this. It really didn't need that detail. And the fact that she put one at the front of the sleeve and one at the back of the sleeve, I was like, this really feels like a very last minute idea, because they're in two completely different places.
Was there one at the front? I thought they were both at the back.
Oh, I thought there was one more towards the front of the sleeve on one side. And
it was difficult.
Maybe it was just the way that Esme was holding the sleeve.
Yeah, it was difficult to tell because it looked like Esme kind of twisted it round. But yeah,
you could be right there. That it might have been that the judges were holding it, and that's why it kind of looks like one was towards the front and one was towards the back. I might be wrong in that. I'll need to rewatch.
So that was the bottom three. So the top three, in third place, we had Tony, who had produced a coat. It looked really well kind of thought out. His sleeves were absolutely tiny. I think he was running out of fabric at that point. But
they were very tiny sleeves.
But it looked very considered, as the rest of the coat did, the carpet and everything. It looked nice.
Yeah, I think he definitely ran out of fabric to do the sleeves, because they were very skinny but also looked really long. It might have just been me. It just looked like they were a lot longer than they needed to be, but also just very slim. And I thought, oh God, if anyone gets in that, they're just not going to be able to move their arms. But it was well constructed. Tony R is doing really, really well. Like, I am a little bit shocked. I will put my hands up. I didn't really think much at the beginning, but he is really, really proving me wrong. He has got some epic skills, and it is making me very, very happy.
Yeah, he's. I think he's a really skilled sewer, especially when they showed the sewing bag that he'd made.
Yeah,
that looked amazing.
That was very cool.
Move into our other Tony, who came in second place, Tony W, and he had produced. It was kind of like a rain dress, where it had a bodice. And then the kind of skirt section was kind of puffy and gathered and went out. He'd used pink binding and it matched to the zip, which I thought was really fun. It looked well tailored. It looked like it fit the mannequin really well. Just a big tick for Tony W. I thought it was a really well put together garment.
It was very cute. I really liked it. And he showed you how to use the haberdashery well. He overboard. He picked two things that worked well with each other, and he went for it. They complemented the outfit that he was working on. I thought this was very, very good. I was so, so happy to see this. It was just very cute.
Definitely. Yeah. Nothing bad to say about that. And in first place, we have Asma, who had produced a skirt and top. The top had puff sleeves. There was a lot of kind of looked like gathering with elastic. It had an extremely dramatic stand-up collar. It blue, white, and red. I thought it was very cute. I thought it was very fun, a little bit panto-esque. I loved it.
You know what this gave me? I could imagine Ginger Spice from Spice Girls wearing something very similar to this to a Spice Girls tour.
Yes. I can see that.
The evolution of the Union Jack dress that she wore. Like, this was just so... It was quintessential British, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, this was just quintessential English tradition. Like, it was so cute. It's so well constructed. I just thought she'd done an absolutely amazing job. This, it gave me a bit of burlesque, a bit of panto, a bit of drag, a bit of Spice Girls. I just love this. And you know what? I could even see something very similar being on like a Vivienne Westwood catwalk.
Okay.
Like that, it almost like add a couple of safety pins and that could have been very punk Vivienne Westwood. Like, you, when she was like back in her punk like heyday and it was like the kind of anarchy Union Jack, like I could really see something like that in a Vivienne Westwood collection.
Definitely. I was definitely giving me some drag queen vibes, a bit of Bag of Chips or somebody at the seaside wearing that. I could definitely see that.
Yeah, I really love this. This was so good.
Well done, Asma. This was a really fun way to create shape from, yeah, a difficult material.
100%.
So that was the transformation challenge. And moving on to the final challenge, the pattern challenge. So our sewing bee contestants had 4 hours to produce a swimsuit. They seemed like they had pretty much a choice of whatever swimsuit they wanted, but it must contain some kind of complex element, whether that be ruching, ruffles, binding, multi-panels, frills. There had to be something extra. It couldn't just be a simple one-piece bathing suit. And I know you would really love this challenge because of your excellent skills with stretch material. I was not loving the idea of this challenge as much. I thought this is could be really difficult if you've not worked with Lycra before. It can be in certain elements can be quite unforgiving. Although it does have, you know, because of the stretch, there is a lot of forgiving elements to it as well with regard to fit. But if you're not used to it, you could really come cropper easily.
Yeah, it's one of those... It's very forgiving in the fact that if you make a slight error... You've still got the stretch to work with. It's not like you're working with a woven fabric and if you cut it just slightly too small that you're going to have to start all over again. But yeah, this would have been my jam. I would have been in heaven on this. Like, this got me very, very excited. I was really looking forward to seeing what everyone produced. And I have to say, for the majority of it, I was not disappointed. It was really, really nice to see some amazing garments come out of this. And might I just also add, the first time is... Oh, it might not be the first time. I might have just forgotten because I have been out in the sun all weekend and my brain has turned into mush. But the first time we've had a model with a prosthetic leg?
I'm trying to remember if that model was on last year or not. I don't think she was. So I think that is, it's really fantastic to see. I think representation is so important, as we talked about on last series. So it's absolutely amazing to see. Love it.
Like, this challenge really represented all body types and proper body positivity. And I really, really loved it. And you know what? As much as I've always loved Sewing Bee, it really feels like they're really trying to be the champions for inclusivity now. Like, they're really trying to make sure everyone feels welcomed in this. And, oh, it just makes my heart sing. Just makes me so happy.
Definitely. And I would agree with that. And it is so good to see. And for there to be that representation and for people to see that sewing is for everybody and, you know, everybody should get involved. And whoever you are, you should never feel that you can't do something or because you don't see other people like you doing it. So that's so amazing. And I love it. And thank you to Love Production and the BBC for doing those kind of things. Now, we're going to have to whip through these quite quickly. But before we do, did you think about what kind of swimsuit you would have made?
I'm a little bit obsessed with bottle green at the moment. So I probably would have done a very vintage-inspired bottle green ruched swimsuit with sort of going along like Asthma's vibes, very Marilyn Monroe, Betty Page. I think I would have done a one piece for this one.
Okay, interesting.
How about you?
I was so traumatized by the idea of doing swimsuit, I didn't really think about what I would have done. I think if I'd have seen this on the list, I'm sure they must give them like a list for the first few episodes of what they will be expected to make. I would have been trawling the websites looking for, I would have probably looked for quite a simple one piece pattern that then I could add something more complicated on.
Fair.
A little bit kind of almost like what Lizzie did. It was a fairly simple pattern and then she added a ruffle on. I would have probably done something, maybe a one piece, but where Lauren had added a belt with like a tortoiseshell buckle, maybe made some kind of large bow, a little bit like Raph did in one of his dresses, made a large bow that is sewn into the side seams.
I like it.
I think that would be kind of a cute idea.
That would be very, very cute.
But that's just off the top of my head. But yeah, and I'm kind of feeling pastel colours at the moment. I'm kind of feeling pinks and yellows and mint and baby blue. Like, I don't know, something along kind of the pastel lines or some kind of pastely rainbow or something. I'm kind of feeling.
Fair enough.
Or, you know, as both of our favourite colours is leopard print, it probably would have just ended up leopard print.
Yeah, knowing me, it would have ended up leopard print.
let's not joke about it here. Yeah. We would have both made leopard print.
We probably would have both. We would have picked the exact same fabric.
Right, now we need to start cracking on. Let's whip through them. Up first, we've got Mia, who had produced a really interesting silhouette for her swimsuit. It was pink and red. She had used a scuba fabric. It had large pleated puff sleeves. It had a tie front, and which kind of created an open section at the tummy, which was kind of creating a lot of drama and thought was really cute. It looked really well sewn. It was a really nice garment.
This was beautiful. Oh my god, like, I was a little bit worried when they showed the fabrics. Oh my god, like, this was stunning. The sleeves, gorgeous. The colors, beautiful. The fabric choice was amazing. The cut was stunning. Oh my god, this was hands down my absolute favorite.
Yeah, I think this was probably one of my favorites. I marked it with like a little star next to it. I wasn't a massive fan of the colors. I think if she'd use different colors just for my personal color choices, I would have liked it a bit more, but I thought it was really amazing.
I just thought this was so genius because it actually, in theory, was a very sensible pattern. but because they wanted that new element to it, they wanted something that made it different, that made it stand out. I just thought this was genius. Absolutely genius, and hands down my absolute favourite of this challenge.
Aww. Moving on to Lizzie. Now, Lizzie had done quite a simple one piece in a floral lycra, and it was simple, but then she had added a large ruffle that went all the way around the neckline and down the back. I thought the fit looked really well done. I thought it looked excellent. I think she had a little bit of an issue with one bit on the shoulder of the kind of ruffle, where I think she'd sewn through the wrong, she'd sewn through an extra bit of fabric which she wasn't supposed to, and then that kind of ended up meaning that she had a raw edge. But apart from that, I thought it looked really well, and I think she kind of almost saved herself with this.
The fit was good, the pattern was lovely, the execution wasn't the best. And I'm not going to lie, it did have me a little bit worried, because it was one of those I kind of felt like we need to pull perfection here, because we're already in a very, very dangerous situation. But as a swimsuit, it looked really, really good. I just feel like she had a bit of an off day on this episode. Things weren't quite working in her favour. Hopefully next episode we pick it up again and she can show us the skills that she's got. I really want to see what Lizzie produces in the next couple of episodes. So fingers crossed we have a couple of better days coming up. But yeah, it was all right. It wasn't my favourite. I didn't find it that exciting, but yeah, it looked cute. It was just a shame about the execution.
Yeah. Talking about things that were a shame, up next we've got Asma, who had produced a Marilyn Monroe inspired piece. It was in a kind of beige and brown tones. It was very complicated. There was a lot of complicated elements going on here. There was a lot of panels. She had ruching. It looked really well sewn. I liked the idea of this. Wasn't a massive fan, again, of the colours used, but I thought the idea was really great. The shame happened when she was pressing it and burnt the fabric. I don't know, why people were trying to press the lycra fabrics and the scuba fabrics, because they really don't press. And I mean, even if you are trying to press them, you need to have it on a really low heat.
Well, even on a low heat, you risk melting it. The trick that I've always learned is if you're trying to, I've had nettings and stuff that have always just creased a little bit and didn't quite look right. Or if you were trying to set some pleats in, if you're trying to set some pleats in, you steam it, you don't press it. And if you need to press it, you need to have at least a tea towel between your fabric and the iron. And even then, you're only lightly pressing it, because this stuff melts very quickly. And I was gutted, because that swimsuit was beautiful. Utterly, utterly stunning. It was complicated. It ticked all of the boxes. And the fact that she used different shades of browns and beiges for it, I was sat there thinking, you know what? Any skin tone could look good in that. It was a diverse swimsuit that would match any skin tone, would look flattering on any body shape. And that's one of the things I really loved. It was just such a shame she took the iron to it, because that was stunning. That was so beautiful.
Yeah, it's weird when there's a number of them were trying to iron their swimsuits. I didn't quite get that. I mean, I've used a little bit of lycra in the past, not a huge amount, but yeah, it's just a weird thing to be ironing it, because essentially, you know, it's woven plastic. You don't want to get heat near that.
No, you really don't.
So that was Asthma, and up next we have Lauren, who had produced an asymmetric one piece. It was a kind of ready orange kind of color. It had a little bit of texture actually when they zoomed in on it. It had a tortoiseshell buckle on a little belt that was sewed in at the side seams. I think this looked very vintage, very 1970s. I thought it was really cool. I could see somebody, you know, by the pool with those massive 1970s sunglasses and a big hat and a cocktail in one hand. I really liked it. I think there was a couple of little issues with it, but I thought it generally it was a really successful make.
It was cute, but I love the colour. I love the vintage aesthetic to it. I just didn't find it that exciting.
Was it a little too simple for you?
Yeah, I think when you look at like Asthma's, who's got this like multi-panelled construction with ruching and all sorts going on in it, I was just a bit kind of like, you've added a belt to it. And I was just a bit, I just wanted to see a little bit more. I love the colour, love the fabric. That fabric was beautiful. The tortoiseshell buckle worked beautifully with it. And she got some really lovely praises from the judges. I don't know, when you look at Mia, who went for a very simple pattern, but then elevated it with the sleeves, I just kind of feel like it just needed something else.
Okay, well, yeah, I know, I can see what you're saying. I like, it was quite a simple design, but you know, it's all about personal choice. It did well. Yeah,
she did well. It looked really, really good.
So Fove, we have, who had used it was kind of like a like a purple, I think it was like a purple lycra or scuba maybe.
Yeah.
And then she'd use like a large mermaid scale for the top of it. It was for cold water swimming. There were some issues with the leg elastic, which she'd sewn onto the wrong side, and then realised that it was on the wrong bit, and then kind of had to fold it in on itself, which then made it a bit lumpy and bumpy. Effort was okay. I wasn't super in love with it, but you know, it was fine.
I've got to admit, this was my least favorite. I loved the idea of it and what it was supposed to look like, but it just, when you've got something like a mermaid scale print, the print can be quite complicated to work with. And because she had that kind of like section at the front that kind of overlapped, it just looked a little bit baggy. And that's when you've got a swimwear, you don't really want something that's going to look baggy. I've been in her shoes where I've sewn the elastic to the wrong side, and then you've gone, oh my God, how the hell do I sort this out? I mean, obviously, under a time scale, I would have trimmed that whole bit off and made it a slightly higher leg. Yeah, she did well for the time scale. I loved the concept. I just didn't like the execution. It wasn't my favourite.
Yeah, let's move on. Up next, we have Maria, who had produced, it was like a blue panelled one piece, which had kind of like darker blue side panels, and then kind of like a speckled blue fabric for the rest. The top wasn't finished. It had some safety pins there. It looked like it would have been great if she'd had maybe another half an hour or something just to finish it, but it was a shame. Yep. It was unfinished.
Yeah, this I loved. It was giving me that vintage vibe. I absolutely loved it. And I loved the fact that she was like, the more panels I put in, the easier it's going to be to tailor. And that is so, so true. It's just a shame it wasn't finished. And I am getting a little bit worried. We had this the previous couple of seasons where there were certain people that just weren't finishing garments, and hopefully she starts to pull things out of the bag a bit more, because yeah, it's slightly worrying when you're kind of repeatedly not finishing things.
Yeah, this isn't the first item that she's not finished, so let's see how she gets on next week, and hopefully everything is finished and, you know, done on time.
Yeah.
Next we've got Tony W, who had produced a skirt and halter neck top in navy, and I couldn't tell if it was like a really pale blue or if it was white.
It looked like a pale blue.
That's what I thought, and then I was like, is it really pale blue, and then, or is it white, and then the back in is navy, and so it's showing through and it's making it look pale blue, or was it actually pale blue? I think it was
pale blue with a dark blue.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought this was really super cute. This is one of my actual favourites. It was a shame that the lining was poking through on the knickers, and it didn't 100% match up. The lines from the top and the bottom didn't match up. On a geeky level, this was very much give me, and I don't think this would be his reference, but this was very much given me a superhero from Marvel comics called Mockingbird, who was married to Hawkeye back in the day, and it's so close to her costume that I was like, oh, this looks like Mockingbird on a holiday. I loved it. But I'm pretty sure that's not what he was going for. But it was one of my favorites. What did you think about it?
I really loved this one, and it was just a shame about those little details. I love the fact that he gave you that geeky comic book vibe, because I'm not going to lie, I got the same vibe from it. Yeah, it was dead cute. It was just a shame about those tiny little details, but I thought he did really, really well, and I loved the fact that he was making it with his friends in mind, that he was trying to design something that they would be comfy in, because they're not quite keen on showing the legs, but all about showing the boobs, so I love the fact that this swimsuit had a purpose. It had people that inspired him behind it. It wasn't just a swimsuit. It was an outfit for people that he clearly cares a lot about.
Yeah, definitely. I thought that was really cute, that idea. I'm sure a lot of his friends are going to be flocking to him now to get one made.
Yeah, 100%.
Up next, we've got Vicky, who had produced... This is also one of my favourites, actually. I've got it marked. It was a pink and orange colour-blocked long-sleeve one-piece. I thought this was very flattering, very commercial. I could see this, you know, being sold in different shops. I thought it was a really well-thought-out idea. I loved the colour choice. I really loved it. I thought it was well fitted. I think Vicky's really good at fitting.
100%. You know what my favorite bit was, is the fact that she described it as a Battenberg swimming suit. I mean, I'm not a fan on Battenberg cake, but I just love the fact that there was that reference in there. I was like, yeah, I can relate. There's something about designing, like being inspired by your favorite foods, but I love this. I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was classy. I thought it could be utilized in so many different ways. It was phenomenal. I gave her an absolute A star. Like, it was just impeccable.
You could really see as well, I think, that the model felt really good in it.
Yep, 100%.
The way the model had walked down the catwalk, she was really strutting, like she was confident, she knew she looked good, she was enjoying wearing that, and that brought me a lot of joy seeing. So yeah, well done, Vicky. Good work.
Very good work.
Up next, we have Tony R, who had used a scuba fabric, which was camo with a floral pattern in the camo. It was a skort. I thought it was very cute. I've not got a lot of notes of this. I just kind of put that it's cute and looked well constructed.
Yeah, it was cute. I wasn't a massive fan on the fabric, but I did like the contrast between the floral and the camo. It really screamed him. Again, it was inspired by people that he sees about all the time. It wasn't my favourite, but well constructed, well handled. I just wasn't really a fan on the print, but if that's my only critique, then yeah, it's pretty damn good.
It's funny you said something there that kind of resonated with me, that everything that I think Tony R has made, you could tell it was his work.
So yeah,
he's kind of already got a signature, a style that runs throughout whatever he's making, whether he's making a dress or a swimsuit or a rucksack or whatever. You could look at it and you can kind of say, oh, that Tony R made that, which I think is a really great quality to have.
Yes, oh, definitely.
He really puts some of his own soul and creativity into every project he sews. I just thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you on that.
Now, one that I did struggle a little bit with was poor Jilly, bless her. It was a very simple one piece. It was a lovely kind of blue and orange kind of 70s inspired florally paisley kind of print, and she'd added orange binding around the front neck, but then it kind of was a bit of a mess all over. This was not my favorite.
It's another one of those, the judges have come and spoken to you, they've tried to give you a useful hint, and yeah, it was just one of those moments where you should really listen to the judges. The fabric was cute, but I'm not quite sure why she decided to try so what looked like a non-stretch binding to a stretch fabric.
I wanted to bring that up as well, because when I saw that, I was thinking, that looks like regular binding.
Yeah.
Like a regular like poly cotton or cotton binding. And I was thinking, that's not, because you can get like fold over elastic, which people use to bind, you know, swimsuits and stretch outfits, dance wear and stuff. And you can get that, but that just looked like maybe on the day she had run to the haberdashery and found that orange and was like, oh, I'll stick this on to make it a bit extra. But when you're using a non-stretch item against a stretch item, there's always going to be issues there.
Yeah. And I think that's why it kind of had that funny look at the front along the neckline, because obviously your stretch fabric's trying to stretch, your woven fabric's trying to stay still, and they're just not going to work together. And it was just one of those moments where you just look at it and go, why? Why? Like, I just kind of feels like she didn't really think about it fully. And maybe she was just having a really, really off day. And maybe the pressure was getting to her. But it was just one of those moments where I went, oh my God, why? Why? Please stop. Just please. And I was just begging with my TV for Jilly to just put down the bias binding and try think of something else to add to it, because they wanted a technical element, and we've got amazing ruched sleeves. We've got buckles. We've got wrap overs. We've got skirts being added. And I was just like, adding a bit of bias binding to adding a non-stretch bias binding to a stretch simple swimsuit, isn't technical. And I think the other bit that really upset me, and I know that she was thinking of her model, but when she said to the judges, I was going to put cups in it, but my model didn't want to wear cups. And that was one of those moments where I was like, I really love the fact that you're trying to consider your model here, but this is your place in the competition.
Yeah, I also felt that as well. And I kind of wanted to say to her, Jilly, like, at the end of the day, you know, the model's not there to tell you what she wants to wear. Essentially, she's being paid to wear whatever you make. So if you need to make it with cups in to show that you've added something a bit more complicated, then you make it with cups in. Like, if, you know, the model just has to kind of put up and, you know, wear it at the end of the day. Yeah.
And maybe that's what threw Jilly off in this challenge, was the fact that she had got the technical element and trying to be that nice person and thinking about the model's comfort, she sort of threw herself under the bus by not sticking to what she had planned.
Yeah, and I think if you're going to do something that is really simple, you need to execute it so well. Like, if you're going to do a simple style, then all of that stitching needs to be impeccable. That binding needs to be impeccable. So that it was a simple style and that it was also a bit of a mess, I think that was just, you know, double whammy.
Yeah, 100%.
Right, anyway, we've spent enough on Jilly. Last up, we've got Matthew, who had produced, it was kind of like a one-piece swimsuit with a skirt. It was in the trans colors. I absolutely loved the idea of this. I thought it was really amazing. Again, we've talked about representation. So it was just such, it made my heart sing. I was loving all the idea of this. There were some serious fit issues and construction issues. The darts were a real mess and there was gaping at the back. I noticed as the model was walking away. I was kind of surprised that Matthew said this was his first overlocked seam, because I followed Matthew on Instagram for a while and he's quite prolific with making things for himself and he makes a lot of stuff, and I was kind of surprised that he didn't use overlockers just to, you know, neaten his own. Not that everybody does. You know, I didn't for a very long time. And then when I got my overlocker, I overlock bloody everything. There is nothing in this house that is not overlocked because I absolutely love it. So I was a bit shocked that he hadn't used an overlocker before. But there were some serious issues here where he noticed that it wasn't fitting correctly, and then he was trying to do amendments on the fly, and you could just tell.
I too was very, very shocked that this was his first overlock seam. And you know what? After seeing his face of how happy it worked out, I imagine he's going to follow in our footsteps and overlock the living daylights out of everything. Because I too overlock literally everything now. Just because I love how it looks. Yeah, I loved the idea. I loved the concept. I was really, really, really excited to see this. And I was a little heartbroken. Yeah, there were clearly some fit issues. He tried his absolute best to get them fitted. And I tip my hat off to him. Like, it's not an easy fabric to make those sorts of amendments to. But I tip my hat off to him for pushing for that inclusivity, if that's even the right word. My brain's still not quite full and whole again. I love the fact that he really tried to push for that kind of representation for people. I really, really love that. And the fact that he wanted to make it not specifically for one group of people, but any female identifying person, and for them to feel comfy in it, that just melted my frozen heart. I just thought that was absolutely beautiful. It was just a shame about the outcome. Yeah, those darts, when, I mean, Lycra's hard to dart in anyway. I think maybe had you tried to maybe squeeze in a pleat or something, that might have worked better. But then in the pressure of the competition, we don't always think of the best things. We think of things that are probably the worst thing for Auras to do.
Yeah, they're definitely the those darts looked a little panic job, because they were kind of all over the place, a bit lumpy and stuff. But yeah, I would definitely just echo back what you've said regarding the idea of the representation with trans, and with also, you know what, sewing costumes, one-piece swimsuits are difficult for anyone to wear and can be really self-conscious. And there's a lot of, you know, cis women that wouldn't want, you know, to wear bathing suits because it really exposes your body to for other people to look at. So I thought it was a fantastic choice that he'd made, and a really thoughtful choice about how anyone could wear that kind of swimsuit and feel more confident, and, you know, have areas of their body covered if they want, or or just to feel, you know, yeah, definitely more confident when you're in quite a vulnerable situation. So well done, Matthew. I thought that was really fantastic.
Yeah.
So that was all of our pattern challenges, and the garment of the week went to Mia. Do you agree with that?
100%.
Me too. I thought that it was, yeah, it was a well-deserved. It was a fantastic piece of sewing. So well done, Mia.
Well and done indeed.
Unfortunately, we had to say goodbye to somebody, as we always do, and it was Jilly. And the group was very tearful saying goodbye to Jilly. And, you know, she's clearly a very lovely lady and everybody loved her. I think it was the right decision. I think this week really kind of showed that this was her time to go. But it's always sad to see someone go.
It is. And I was, until that final challenge, I was starting to get very, very worried for Lizzie. Just because we kind of had 11th, second to last, all right, made to measure. And it was a bit kind of like, oh, have we done enough here? But when you look at the fact that Jilly's bag was just nowhere near completed, and then the swimsuit just, it didn't have a technical feature. And because it was a simple swimsuit, it just wasn't executed in the way that it needed to be done. I think it was only fair on everyone else that it was Jilly that went home. And it's a shame because she seems like such a lovely, lovely lady. And I imagine she's such a lovely person to sit down and have a cup of tea with. But I think it would have been unfair to send anyone else home.
Definitely agreed. So have your top three changed at all?
No. Well, I did give myself top four just because we did have a top four last season. So no, I'm quite excited about Lauren. I want to see more. I want to see what she's able to produce. Lizzie's exciting me a little bit as well. I just hope we don't become one of those that never finishes. But no, I'm sticking to my top four.
Okay, my top 3/4 are still Asma, Vicky, and then in the last slot, Lauren/Tony. I'm not going to say which Tony because I'm going to leave my options open, but there will be a Tony.
That is cheating. That is cheating.
So
that's not fair at all.
I'm going to gloss over that and talk about next week, where we have West Africa Week. So it's going to be interesting to see some very different challenges and a guest judge, which will be quite different for the Sobe.
Yeah. I wonder if either Patrick or Esme are going on holiday.
No, I think they're there, aren't they? I think they're just going to get somebody in who is more of an expert in this particular area.
I mean, that is very exciting. I do have a feeling like Patrick's gone on holiday for the episode. I just called someone else in. But no, this is going to be really, really cool. I think it's really amazing that they're getting a guest judge who has got technical experience of whatever challenges are coming up. I'm quite excited for it. I'm really loving this new series of Sewing Bee.
Yeah, me too. I think it's been, I think this episode has been incredibly difficult, but I think it's been a really fantastic episode.
It has indeed.
We have had a message all the way from Australia, so I'm going to play that.
Hi guys, my name's Jenny from Australia. I just wonder whether Bill's going to be reviewing the Sewing Bee this year. Love hearing about your rundown on the show, and hopefully I'll be seeing your podcast up soon. Take care. Bye.
So that was a message all the way from Australia. Thanks, Jenny, for sending us a message. That was really sweet of you.
Yes, thank you very much. And it's very, very cool to know that we're actually reaching quite far out. Like, this is quite cool, thinking that someone from Australia has listened to our podcast.
Yeah, that's really crazy. Somebody halfway around, well, the other side of the world really, has listened to this podcast, which is just you and me chatting crap about Sewing Bee. So that's that's amazing.
You know what? I'm slightly worried that most of our listeners don't actually have a life. They're spending time listening to us just talking crap.
It's probably
guys, it's time to get a hobby.
It's probably quite a good one to go to sleep to, maybe. I think maybe we make people drop off to sleep.
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. I might actually try it tonight, see what happens.
Oh, right. Well, we have massively run over, but I'm going to try and edit it down. And yeah, that was episode 2. So thanks for listening, if you are still listening. And that's a goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me.
Bye.
Bye.